Netflix, the great media world disruptor, reached another picture-perfect milestone Thursday, taking over the spot as the world's most valuable entertainment company. Shares of Netflix jumped to a record high, the streaming movie service's stock market worth topping $153 billion for the first time ever. The relatively new kid on the media block is now worth more to investors than captains of the old media guard, Walt Disney and Comcast.
Long before most of us grasped how tech giants use our data, Max Schrempf was on the case. The Austrian was a law student aged just 23 when he first sued Facebook and won. Now he's at it again, with the Friday rollout of Europe's GDPR data law providing ammunition for fresh complaints. His targets, Facebook, Google, Instagram and WhatsApp. His charge, forced consent.
That sneaking suspicion your devices are spying on you, maybe for a good reason. A family in Portland says a private conversation at home was recorded by Alexa on Amazon's Echo and sent to a random contact in Seattle. As for the audio file delivered by Alexa, fortunately, it was only a conversation about hardwood floors.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It is May 29th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. We're glad you're back with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business week getting underway, another business day as well on the broadcast today. A little bit later in the program, is Chicago experiencing an historic preservation crisis? We're going to be talking with A.J. LaTrace over at Curb Chicago about it. He's been writing about this. We will do that at 5:40 in just a minute. We'll bring in our first guest this morning, the author of Give to Get. We will talk about navigating corporate life. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Asian shares were mostly lower this morning, tracking losses in Europe, where investor confidence has been sapped by political uncertainty in Italy. U.S. markets were closed yesterday for the holiday. Italy's president vetoed a Eurosceptic candidate for economy minister proposed by leaders of two populist parties that were trying to form a government. The president said that he was refusing to appoint the man whose policies could rattle nervous markets and further inflate the country's staggering debt. Instead, he named an economist to lead the country until new elections while avoiding a populist government that investors had worried about. The move means more political uncertainty. On the boards this morning here in the United States, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street. When the bell rings a little bit later on this morning, the movement, though, is negative toward lower. Right now it's up about 80 points. NASDAQ futures are down about 29 points. S&P futures are down about 16 points. In Asia, markets are generally lower, with the Nikkei off almost 0.5%. Hang Seng is lower. The Shanghai is lower. In the rest of Europe, the DAX is off by about 1.5%, and the CAC is off by about 78 points. Oil is trading this morning at $66.88 a barrel, which is down about a dollar. A couple of stories that we're watching for you this morning, in addition to the Italy story. Starbucks will try to put to rest an outcry over the arrest of two black men at one of its stores. So it's closing more than 8,000 stores today for an afternoon of anti-bias training, a strategy that some believe can keep racism at bay. After the arrest in Philadelphia last month, the coffee chain's leaders apologized and met with the two men, who were removed in handcuffs, but also reached out to activists and experts in bias training to put together a curriculum for its 170 workers. Ivanka Trump's 170,000 workers, I should say. Ivanka Trump's brand continues to win foreign trademarks in China and the Philippines, adding to questions about conflict of interest at the White House. Sunday, China granted the first daughter's company final approval for its 13th trademark in the last 3 months, according to trademark office records. We begin front and center this morning with Give to Get is the book. The author is Vishal Agarwal. Vishal, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you here because this is sort of a roadmap, is it not, for people to navigate corporate life? It answers a lot of questions. Tell us about it.
I hope so, and it's meant to be a sharing, mentoring kind of navigation tool. You know, we all get into corporate careers, and while you might get a handbook from HR that tells you the rules of the company. Seldom do people kind of really sit you down and give you advice on how to kind of deal with building teams, how to manage stakeholders, how to get credit for yourself, how to succeed as a leader, more importantly, how to shine the torch on teams, how to deal with small things like dressing to work, which can become pretty large, how do you connect with people, how do you deal with boredom at work. So what I try to do in my hopefully quick-to-read book is fill it with my 24 years of what I've learned in a way that people can kind of relate to and hopefully chuckle at and learn from.
I know that going through corporate life, you know, I think a lot of people might be able to relate to this. We see the guy next to us or the woman next to us who seems to be jumping ahead farther than we are, faster than we are. And we wonder, why is it that some people in our office are moving faster than us? There are reasons for that. What would you say are the big ones?
Well, you know, at the heart of it, I'm an idealist. So I do believe that outcomes and excellence and true authenticity tears through everything, right? So, again, I'm an idealist. I believe that with all my heart. That really does matter. But being noticed, I don't mean popular, but being noticed, being someone that builds a reputation and trust from a reliability standpoint, being someone that knows how to connect with people, build stakeholders, mentor other people, you know, all of that stuff really matters. And in all our lives, corporate lives or career lives, we'll all have days of great frustration, days of being misaligned with colleagues, days of disagreeing with colleagues. And how we navigate through that stuff really determines our ability to make it to the next level. Does that make sense, Steve?
It does. And so are there certain ways that we can, if we don't have those capabilities now, learn them? Is this a learned behavior this late? And let's say we're middle through our career. Is this something, learned behavior, that we can pick up?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you're mid-senior manager, this is the time when it actually really matters. You can get by with a lot of the, you know, sort of winging it, if you will, at a more junior level. But when you are leading a team, whether you have five direct reports or 50, that's when it really begins to matter. And this is absolutely the right time to practice this stuff.
Vishal, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here and continue with Vishal Agarwal, who is the author of Give to Get. We're going to talk more about the book and have more questions about this as we begin our workday here on The Opening Bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stock futures are down, indicating a negative start to the trading week after the Memorial Day holiday. Stocks in Asia and Europe also lower, with the political crisis in Italy dragging down the markets. Benchmark U.S. crude oil plunged more than a dollar to just below $67 per barrel. The dollar slipping against the yen and the euro. In today's economic reports, look for the release of an index of home prices for March in the first quarter, and the Conference Board will release the Consumer Confidence Index for May. The annual auction for a power lunch with Warren Buffett is underway. Last year, the winning bid topped $2.5 million. And Starbucks might not be available for your afternoon caffeine fix today. About 8,000 company-owned stores across the U.S. will be closed for racial bias training in the wake of that controversial incident involving two black men arrested at a Philadelphia Starbucks. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 5:23, and we're on this morning with the author of Give to Get, a senior leader's guide to navigating corporate life. Vishal Agarwal is with us. Vishal, let's go through a couple of these things, because I think it's worth mentioning. You, before the break, talked about the way we dress. This is a big deal today because so many people are dressing so many different ways. How important is how you dress at work?
Hey, look, I think it really is. And maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I want to quickly take a minute and tell you a story, right? So at the outset of my career, I'm 24 years in. in the early 90s, I'd just begun my career with Legacy PricewaterhouseCoopers in Washington. And I remember in the hot, humid summers, kind of walking to my senior partner, Argentinian guy, his name was Juan Carlos Hasbal. So I go to him on behalf of all these interns, including myself, and I say, Juan Carlos, you know, summer's coming. Can we dress down? Can we not wear our suits to work? Do you mind if we dress casual? And he looks at me, he says, sit down. And he says, hey, Vishal, tell me, how do people dress on the battlefield? And I said, well, Juan Carlos, in an armor. And he said, well, that's right. So just because it's hot and humid, would you lose your armor? Never come back asking me for that. Go wear your suit. And that was 24 years ago. Not one day has passed that I haven't worn my suit and a pair of cufflinks to work. In good days and bad days, through China trips and Silicon Valley trips. Matt, that has formed kind of, you know, shaped my principles and my value system. Why is that important? I think it does drive outcomes. And it's horses for courses a little, depends on what work you do. But if you're kind of in a corporate setting, if you're a professional, if you're a lawyer, investment banker, if you're in general management, then, you know, dressing formally matters. Right? And if you actually think about a Mark Zuckerberg, you know, multi-billionaire Mark Zuckerberg, who I've seen dresses in a tee and jeans. He was in Kenya. I live in Nairobi, Kenya. He was here last year. But even Mark Zuckerberg, when he gets in front of Senate and Parliament, as he's been for different reasons recently, he's always wearing a suit and tie. So I think the structure, the discipline, drives outcomes at work, and people, you know, remember you. So I think it matters a whole lot.
There is a part of the book, too, where you talk about people who think they know it all. What is the difference between coming to work and being a smart employee and thinking you know everything and sort of having that spread through the workplace?
You know, that's just not contemporary anymore, right? I mean, today, good leaders and employees who are looking towards leadership are servant leaders, are there to serve. So if you're there to serve, I don't mean be subservient, but be there to help, be there to collaborate, be there to serve, then you don't talk down. Then you're not the smart ass. You're not, I know it all. You listen more. You collaborate more. You elevate people more. You give them your hand more. Now, those attributes that I just walked you through are not of one who comes to the party saying, I know it all. And it's just a shift in what leadership means today. In my view, today's leadership is all about serving.
Also, there's the head of the team, let's say, who comes with the phrase, I'm the boss, you're going to do what I say. That's probably not a good thing either, is it?
Well, that's right. Look, I mean, if you come into a new role, Steve, it doesn't matter how big a title you're getting in the new organization or what you did previously. When you come into a new role, the reason why you were hired, that CV and that background, is forgotten, right? So your teams don't kind of see the CV plastered on your head every day. They see you for what value you're driving and what have you done for us today, right? So building that trust is really important, and you cannot build a trust by saying, do it my way. I think where leadership today has gone to from a contemporary leadership standpoint is all about, let's do it together. Not around, you know, do it my way. And a good way, I mean, I'm often asked, and how do you do that? One of a good ways as a tip to kind of do that is by storytelling, right? If you're there to listen, but if you're there to give examples, to share experiences, to storytell, then people can relate to that better. We all love a good story, right? So people can relate to that better and say, hey, you know, Steve makes sense. Let's try it Steve's way, as opposed to Steve saying, hey, you know, Susan or John, you better do it my way.
Vishal, we have just about a minute or so left, but as people are heading back to work today after the long holiday weekend, what is something they can do this morning to get going on this road?
Well, I think a few tips that I would leave listeners with is be a connector. Right? You know, we all have Rolodexes, we all are resourceful, we all know stuff, but we all kind of hide it somehow. We kind of feel that people will take over my relationship, offer it, you know, give the relationship. The other thing I would sort of say very quickly is, you know, practice the uniform stuff. People will remember the uniform. In today's very changing global dynamic world, we have people from all kinds of diverse backgrounds, different regions, different demographics, different cultures, and how you dress might cut through all of that, right? So you're more respectful, you don't take chances, people remember the brand. So those are a couple of things that I would practice. Lastly, I would say to people that excel at what they do and work so hard, make it look simple. So don't tell them how hard you worked for it. You might have worked the entire night. Don't go off telling people that you worked the entire night. Make it look simple, like a brilliant actor or a gymnast makes it look simple, because then people remember you for how excellent you are, as opposed to, you know, when Steve says to me, I worked the whole night, you begin to sort of say, well, did this assignment really require you to work all night, Steve? So rather than asking another question about ability, make it look simple, make it look flawless. I hope that helps.
Vishal, we appreciate that, your advice. And the book, again, is called Give to Get, A Senior's Guide to Navigating Corporate Life, Senior Leader's Guide to Navigating Corporate Life. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Again, Vishal Agarwal, the book Give to Get, A Senior Leader's Guide to Navigating Corporate Life.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Evanston-based Aptinix, a biopharma startup working to develop therapies for neurologic diseases like Parkinson's and post-traumatic stress disorder, is raising up to $80 million in an initial public offering, according to an SEC document. Impact Engine, a Chicago investment firm that backs startups that have a positive social or environmental impact, is raising a $25 million fund. The firm has so far raised $10 million of its target amount, and its portfolio companies include ThinkSera, Edovo, and Guard Llama. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us in our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Some more business stories that we're covering for you this morning. A major tobacco company is pumping millions of dollars into a campaign to persuade San Francisco voters to reject a ban on selling flavored tobacco products. R.J. Reynolds Tobacco has contributed nearly $12 million to No on Proposition E. It's a campaign urging voters to reject a law supervisors approved last year that is now on the June 5th ballot. By comparison, banned supporters have raised $2.8 million, more than $2 million, from billionaire former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. San Francisco supervisors last year unanimously approved a ban on sales of flavored tobacco, saying the nicotine masked in flavors like mango, caramel, and mint serve as starter products, enticing kids to become smokers under the ordinance. Smoked juices that taste like tobacco would still be allowed. It is a story that other communities, municipalities will be watching moving forward. State regulators say Oregon produced enough recreational marijuana last year to supply every adult resident with more than 5 ounces of legal marijuana. That's 140 grams. The Ben Bulletin reports there were more than 1 million pounds in the state supply chain. With more cannabis being grown than consumed, growers have dropped wholesale prices and some are scaling back production or getting out of the market altogether. European Union is proposing bans on plastic products like cotton buds, those things that we call Q-tips, straws, stirrers, and balloon sticks, when alternatives are easily available, in an attempt to cut marine litter. The European Commission says its proposal would seek to cut marine litter in half for the 10 most prominent items and avoid environmental damage estimated at more than $250 billion over the next dozen years. The EU vice president says that the utensils would not be banned completely, but steps would be taken to have them made out of sustainable materials when possible. The proposal will now be assessed by the EU Parliament and member states, but there is a hope that this might be a done deal by May of 2019. Canada's Pan America Silver Corporation says it is cutting back operations at its mine in northern Mexico due to safety concerns. It's the latest in a series of major businesses that have been frightened by unsafe conditions in Mexico. Company President Michael Steinman says employees have had regular incidents on roads leading to the mine in a remote part of the Chihuahua state, a region plagued by drug cartels. Over the weekend, they were holed up at the mine afraid to leave because of threats. The company says ore stacking and processing at the open pit mine are still operating. Human Rights Watch says that Israeli banks are helping build West Bank settlements in violation of international law by providing financial services to home buyers and local councils. The New York-based watchdog says in a report issued today that bank activities in or near the settlements have helped encourage settlement growth and contribute to rights abuses against Palestinians. HRW also says that Israeli banks and international banks doing business with them may be engaging in what they describe as pillage by acquiring ownership interest in housing projects on seized land. An upcoming computer video game that would let players recreate school shootings by stalking school hallways and racking up kills has been condemned as insensitive and inappropriate by the parents of students who were killed during the massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. The game is titled Active Shooter, as slated for June 6th release. It's branded as a SWAT simulator that lets players choose between being an active shooter terrorizing a school or the responding SWAT team. It was published by the company Acid. The Miami Herald reports Acid said in a blog post that the game doesn't promote violence and that it might remove the shooter's role. The color authorities at Pantone declared violet the color of 2018, and now Delta Airlines is following suit quite literally. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the Atlanta-based airline has added a new option dubbed Passport Plum to its signature red and blue colors for new uniforms rolling out today. The outfits are the first revamp of flight attendant and customer service agent uniforms since 2006. And the first for ground workers since 2000. Delta has more than 60,000 uniformed workers worldwide. Pilots' uniforms won't change.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a lot of red on the big board to this morning. Dow futures down 182. NASDAQ futures are down about 41. And S&P futures are down about 20 as we head to the opening bell at about 8:30 this morning. Markets around the globe are generally negative as well. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Today is the first full day we'll be able to trade those numbers in the monthly cattle on feed report issued last Friday by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. A quick review of those numbers again. As of May 1st, we had 11,558,000 cattle on feed. That was up 5% from the same day a year ago. The number of cattle placed on feed in the month of April totaled 1,695,000, and that's down 8% from a year ago. The number of cattle marketed in April, 1,803,000 head, and that's up 6% from a year ago. Two traders that I talked to over the weekend, one said, "No fireworks in this report." The other one said, "Pretty much in line with expectations." But in case you have forgotten, because of the long holiday weekend, we ended the grain and livestock market last Friday with an all-green screen on my Reuters machine. July wheat was up 14 and a quarter cents for the day. July corn up 2 and a quarter, and July soybeans up 6 and a quarter. Livestock trade, Mercantile Exchange, the July lean hogs gained 67 cents a hundredweight. June live cattle up 52 cents, and the August feeder cattle contract ended on Friday with a gain of $2.22. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now on the opening bell, you know, we have this file that we keep stuff in, evergreen stuff that when a guest cancels or we have a technical problem, we can reach in and pull out. And Bennett Wakenight, our executive producer of the opening bell, is in the studio this morning. Bennett, this is my favorite. It's the pronunciation of corporate names.
It's the little thing that you have to know in order to sound like you know your stuff about business.
Right.
If you pronounce the name wrong,
right,
you're out of the book.
Exactly. And this happened to me when I first started doing business news. I pronounced Lululemon.
Lululemon, yeah. Lululemon.
What did I say? I said Lululemon or something like that because I wasn't aware of it. And just recently we had the incident of we were talking about the company OCADO had been purchased by Kroger, I believe. Mm. And it's a UK company, and so I looked it up and I thought, well, that doesn't look anything like it sounds. How do you think it's pronounced?
I would say Ochado.
That's a good guess, but it's actually Ocardo. It's like a C-A-R sound, Ocardo.
Okay.
And it's like a grocery software. But then on the list, some of these others that I had no idea, like for instance, how do you think you pronounce Volkswagen? So the car company.
Volkswagen, right?
That's how you would think people would pronounce it. But apparently the correct pronunciation in Germany is Volkswagen.
That is a very important thing, that a little behind-the-scenes spiel right now, that when I'm doing research on these companies of who we're talking to and just a little bit of background research for your interview, looking up former interviews on, you know, different, you know, CNBC and all these other sources, it's a good way to try to compare and contrast different pronunciations because of these geographical, you know, locations that these companies might be from. It's a completely different pronunciation than you might think.
And wasn't the recent controversy over Laurel and Yanni, wasn't that an actual pronunciation video that you can go and play online?
Yes. Now there have been plenty of videos out now that they do all of the research behind as to what it was tricking your mind and what the original sound was and how it was. There was a bass amplifier involved, and so it was a very strange thing, but it's those little things that can play tricks on your mind.
Let's play some more here. This is, I think it's a yogurt company, F-A-G-E.
This one I know, Faye.
Faye, yes.
Because they have the pronunciation on the label, actually,
okay.
Which
all
is
right.
A little thing. You do a little bit of research on that.
See, I would have never got that because I don't eat that mm-hmm. much yogurt. Let's see. Okay, here's another one. MOSCHINO. This is a clothing company, I believe.
Ooh. MOSCHINO. Moschino?
That's the way it looks. Moschino. But it's Moschino.
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 Okay.
Again, I think that's a clothing company. We know the other one on here that I think a lot of people mispronounce is this one. P-O-R-S-H-E. It's a famous car company.
Oh, yeah. This is the Porsche.
Yes.
Debate. I always say Porsche, and that's, I think, the American way, and I believe it's always Porsche as the
it
preferred
is the
way.
Correct. Is Porsche is the correct pronunciation on that. And then another car company, H-Y-U-N-D-A-I.
Hyundai.
People, a lot of people say Hyundai.
Hyundai. Yeah.
Hyundai. Let's see. We could fit one more in here. Okay, this is a clothing company, I believe. H-E-R-M-E-S.
Paris. The first time I learned this one recently. The first time that I saw it, I said Hermes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what most people say, that Hermes.
Right, but then I did a little bit more research, and I was like, all right, this is European, and I believe it's Hermes, right?
Hermes.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So
there you go. A little bit of name that corporation. We'll keep adding to our list here, and mm-hmm. the next time we have a few minutes, we'll play another game, Bennett.
There you go.
So appreciate it. Bennett
mm-hmm.
Wakenight, our executive producer of the opening bell, helping us fill a little bit of segment time this morning. Let's check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, May 29th. Here's some of the things happening today. We will get a report on consumer confidence for May. The Consumer Confidence Index is out. Also, the Standard & Poor's S&P Case-Shiller Index of home prices for March and the first quarter due out. Also, today, we'll get the Dallas Manufacturing Survey, Fed Manufacturing Survey. The State Street Investor Confidence Index is due out.
One Fed speaker out there, James Bullard, will speak. The rest of the week, Amazon, ExxonMobil, Twitter, Walmart, annual shareholder meetings. The Fed discusses the Volcker Rule tomorrow. Thursday, Facebook annual shareholder meeting on Friday, the May jobs report. Just some of the things that could move the markets.